Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, the Voices of Courage show. Today, our show is called The Courage to Advocate Against Abuse. This is a show that is much needed across America. There's an abuse industry, actually, troubled teen industry is very has had its challenges with abuse over the last several years. We're going to bring light to that today. And, you know, abuse isn't just something we talk about. You know, it may be happening in your neighborhood, maybe to some of the children next door to you, maybe to somebody you know intimately. The reason for that is because we don't talk about it. But today we are going to talk about it. We're going to bring light to this subject. We're going to be light to defining what abuse really is, defining some of the symptoms of abuse, what you can look for in your community. We're going to be defining what you can do about it, how you can advocate for it, and where to go if you suspect there's any kind of abuse going on. Now, we're not just talking about child abuse. Of course, we're going to focus on that today, but there's also adult abuse and senior abuse and things like that. We want you to be aware. I want you to be aware because that's how we grow. That's how we change. That's how we step into courage and become service to our community, our family, our friends. It's not by hiding behind, I don't know, or I don't care. It's stepping into, I have courage to do what it takes to make the changes. Even though somebody may not like me, somebody may not talk to me again, that's okay. You know what? If you're saving a child, you're bettering our community, you're upshifting the consciousness of the planet. And as you know, there's a lot going on right now. We need to upshift. So this is a story that you're going to love from my guest. And you're going to, I believe, be inspired to step into your courage in greater ways. I'm going to take a break. And when I get back, we're going to have my guest.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund. We have enough information. Just Google it or AI it. What the world needs today is courage and wisdom. The courageous ones have moved us forward. These are the fearless, the ones with determination, the resilient ones. They have grit and rise to meet the challenges and opportunities. They encourage, empower, and enlighten us to all glow up, shift our thinking, and step into our greatness. Yes, these are the ones who have led the way. Now, listen to the courageous ones of today and step into your courage. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and so happy to welcome Meg Applegate. Meg, welcome to the show today. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
For those of you that would like to get to know Meg, I'd like to formally introduce her. Meg Applegate is the CEO of Unsilenced and advocates against institutional child abuse in the troubled teen industry, which we're going to abbreviate as TTI. She's authored Becoming Unsilenced, who we're going to talk about today, Surviving and Fighting the Troubled Teen Industry to Expose Abuses and Champion Reform. With a psychology degree and extensive nonprofit experience, Meg is committed to ending abuse in the troubled teen industry through advocacy, education, and securing justice for survivors. And she's doing that by spreading the message today on this show. Meg, let's jump right in.
All right.
How did you get, you're a survivor, I take it.
Yeah.
What was your story? And, you know, was this what fueled you getting involved in the teen industry?
It is. I'm a survivor of institutional abuse. And my story started when I was 15 years old, when I was woken up in the middle of the night by two strangers that said that I was coming with them and that we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And they proceeded to watch me undress and throw me into the back of an SUV and drove me to LAX. And that was the start of my journey in the troubled teen industry, because for the next 3.5 years, I spent my time being mistreated in two different facilities.
Wow. Now, was this court ordered, or was this something that your parents thought they were doing the right thing by intervening with you?
Right. Yeah, it was definitely the latter. My parents had hired an educational consultant, which is often hired for parents that just feel like they're at the end of their rope and they don't know what to do with their kid and they feel out of control. So educational consultants are often hired. And if they're responsible for putting the kid into the program, they'll oftentimes suggest a transport service be used so that the kid can't run away or, you know, fill in the blank. But oftentimes it's extremely traumatic, as you can imagine, to be woken up in the middle of the night and kidnapped.
You know, we can get into this later on in the show, but there's a lot of teens that are going through trouble right now, and they are at home and the parents don't know what to do, you know, where they're using drugs or abusing alcohol, or they're, you know, on gaming. They're gaming 24/7. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to see anybody. They just want to do what they want to do. They're troubled. Is there something that you could have been done different in your life? Hindsight, right? Looking back, what mom and dad, you know, may have been able to do differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and I'm speaking as a parent myself, I have four kids. So, you know, I'm not just talking about from a survivor perspective, but from a perspective of a parent. I think that it's very common for us to look at our kids and want them to do what we want them to do. And I think that a lot of the time kids enter this industry, myself included, because we're looking at the behaviors versus trying to figure out why those behaviors are happening. It's kind of like addressing a heart attack without figuring out exactly what caused that heart attack. So in my case, I think what I needed was to figure out why I was starting to do bad in school and why I started to smoke pot and started to push back against authority and addressing the trauma that was really needing to be addressed. And I think that's the case with a lot of kids. There's prior trauma that is causing behaviors that parents don't like, and then they don't like behaviors, so they send them to get help.
And unfortunately, in a lot of these cases, parents don't want to send them into even therapy, because they're the ones that abuse the child. Yeah. And they don't want to be exposed themselves, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is why I think we need to really expose this. You know, there is cause and effect, and that's what this program is all about. When you can get to the cause, you will see the effect. It doesn't just happen a child all of a sudden starts misbehaving in school. It doesn't just happen a child just starts using drugs or just starts hanging around with the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. There's cause here and effect. Well, all right. Let me switch up here a little bit. All right. So we'll get to cause and effect maybe as we go through this program. But what happened to you is happening to a lot of teens. Well, I've seen the specials on TV where they're taken to a troubled teen institution, which everybody thinks is the be all end all. They're going to fix my kid. They're going to help my kid do whatever. And, you know, they'll come home. I'll have this angel as a child. What really happens in some of these institutions?
I mean, it's pretty horrendous. There's many different types of programs. So what happens is pretty dependent on what type of program. We have residential.
Let me put a caveat there. There are good programs out there. Okay. And you can do the research around that. But we're talking about the warning signs and ones that aren't. All right. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So let's take wilderness therapy, for instance. Wilderness therapy revolves around the idea that extreme tough love will cause your child to reach a low enough low that they'll start to listen and make better decisions. But, you know, that's oftentimes through not getting enough food and not getting enough water, over-exercising, losing copious amounts of weight because of these things, not having access to clean water. So I've tons of reports of getting parasites and things like that. And these wilderness programs operate, as it sounds, completely in the wilderness. So then you're looking at things like injuries and medical neglect that has been reported in these programs. In fact, kids are literally dying in these programs because there's not enough regulation for them.
Yeah. I hear that. And I you know, one therapy isn't right for all children. There may be some children that need tough love, but in my humble opinion, most children need understanding, compassion, wisdom, and truth, and being able to deal with, you know, some deep therapy with some of their traumas in what's gone on in their world. That's my world. And we look at, you know, we look at diet, we look at the medications they're on, we look at the support systems that they have or don't have. And there's so many really good programs out there for children and adults. You know, it's when you have a troubled kid, it's not a kid's disease. It's a family disease, as I know Meg would tell you. It's not just about the kids. So in your opinion, you know, what are some of the most critical issues and misconceptions surrounding the troubled teen industry that you hope to dispel through your advocacy?
I think one of the most important ones is that they claim to be providing treatment. But if you look at this industry, even if you compare it to just simple community-based care that would oftentimes occur, you're not even getting more therapy than that. I would say a majority of these programs are offering therapy about one time a week for about an hour, if you're lucky, right? But then you're also adding in a lot of coercive control, tons of rules and level systems and pitting peers against other peers, you know, that feeling of learned hopelessness. So if you look at therapy and what makes therapy work, it is 100% based on having a trusting relationship with that mental health professional. If you look at how these kids enter this industry, they're being kidnapped. That's not free will. That's not a desire to be there. And you can't force change. Forcing change like that isn't going to lead to long-lasting change. It's going to lead to kids perhaps making that decision that you want, but they're going to revert back if it's forced, right? So I think just expelling the fact that it's not treatment.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you take a person that goes into the military, okay? And they go into the military and they're getting, you know, they're being required to do certain things, right? They even have free will there to drop out at some point, okay? If they don't like it, if somebody's will is being put on them to the point where this isn't for me, military doesn't want you there. They want people that want to be there, want to be there. And you don't have that choice as a abused teen in one of these programs. I'm surprised these programs are still out there. I mean, I saw, you know, 60 Minutes, and a lot of people did, you know, a lot of media around it, but they're still going. And is it still some of the same people running these things under different names?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the ones that get bad PR, they'll just simply rebrand under a different name, a different LLC, different logo, and just go on operating because there's not regulations that enforce that they can't operate again. So yeah, it's been continuing for decades and decades.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Unsilenced, your book, and how that journey of writing that book has changed you and is changing the lives of all those that read it. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. The name of this show is The Courage to Advocate to Advocate Against Abuse. I'm with Meg Applegate, and she's an advocate to change the TTI, troubled teen industry. Meg, you wrote an amazing book, and why'd you write this book?
Oh, man, why'd I write? I think that I needed to not only get my story out there, because of healing purposes, but also for awareness and really just wanting every parent, every survivor, every brother or sister of a survivor or grandparent to understand exactly what's going on out there in the troubled teen industry, but also how survivors suffer as a result of having to go through what they went through. And my hope was really to help bring people together to talk about it and to have some healing and hopefully some reform and change.
You know, there's a lot. I mean, how many kids have gone through these TTI programs? Do you know? Is there a number out there over the last 10 years? How many kids have gone through these programs?
Well, the lack of reporting makes it really difficult to count accurately, but we estimate about 120,000 to 200,000 kids a year are funneled into these programs. So,
and what kind of results do these programs produce for children? Do you have any data on that?
They don't track results. So we don't know about outcomes, which is obviously very interesting considering it's healthcare, and mental health care is healthcare in my eyes. And it's all should be, you know, tracked by outcomes, but it isn't. They make claims on their websites about, you know, what they claim to do in helping kids and families, but there's nothing regulating whether that's true or not.
How many kids do you know that went through these programs that came out worse than they went in?
I would say right now our community of survivors is upwards of 50,000 people that I know that I've heard of and have access to that had horrendous experiences. I'd say it's more often than not people come out calling themselves survivors.
Survivors. So in other words, they felt traumatized. They felt abused. They felt something changed when they went through this program, and it wasn't to better. Their lives are not better as a result, is what I'm hearing, because I feel like survivors.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, back to the book. Where do people get the book, Becoming Unsilenced?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on barnesandnoble.com. It's a bit pretty widely available.
Okay. My listening audience, the name of the book is Becoming Unsilenced, Meg Applegate, Applegate. Becoming Unsilenced. Encourage you to pick that one up if you know anybody that's gone through this, or you suspect somebody's going through this. Meg, that's a sad travesty that there's so many kids that have come out not better, but having to deal with what they went through in these institutions. Why do these institutions still exist?
Ooh, that's a really difficult question. It's kind of a multitude of ways that they continue to exist. First is the lack of regulation. There's zero federal regulation at all. So regulation is left up to states. And as you know, state regulations vary greatly depending on the state. So they tend to focus having more facilities in the states that have less laws that regulate kids' rights, right? So that's one of the issues. The other issue is that it's the lack of awareness, lack of transparency, lack of reporting. So whenever things are going wrong in these facilities, whether it's a potential sexual assault or it's a death, sometimes it doesn't make it to the agencies so that they can be able to have repercussions from that. And it's certainly not making it to the public to be able to make better decisions.
Do you know what kind of training the counselors go through, or and I know we're speaking in generalities, but what kind of training in the industry the counselors are provided and/or the managers of facilities?
Most often, the people that start the facilities, the owners, have zero training. Many times, don't have college degrees, or sometimes high school degrees. There's no regulations with that, but for the actual therapists, let's say that they're hiring within the programs, they have to be licensed, but a lot of times they aren't. For the people that have direct 24/7 face-to-face contact with these kids daily, though, many of them are just out of college and getting paid minimum wage. And I would say a vast majority of them don't have college degrees or any kind of formal education in children, let alone kids that are going through trauma or having issues.
Wow. Well, I want to take a step back and just ask you, when you went into the institution that you went into, describe some of the challenges that you faced and how did it shape you?
Yeah. So I think my first program was more of a lockdown facility, and it was more based on fear. And I saw daily restraints on kids. There was a quiet room where they'd strap the kid down and they'd lock him in there. So it was pretty horrifying. And that facility focused on stealing control. And they said that to me. They said, we need to make sure you don't feel control over the things that happen to you because you try to control things too much. So their treatment for me was sitting at a desk for 12 hours a day, anytime I'm up, doing writing assignments. And my ability to be with my peers was based on me choosing a piece of paper out of a bag that said a yes or a no when there was only one yes in the bag. So they wanted me to feel a complete loss of not only control, but autonomy. So it was all about making me feel very, very small because they thought I was too big. And other things there were just misdiagnoses leading to over-medication. I had gained 60 pounds in that first facility in 6 months because they thought I had bipolar disorder, and they pumped me full of antipsychotics. And it was horrible. It was horrible.
So sorry you had to go through that. You know, I've read the label on a lot of those antipsychotics, and they actually do what they say they're trying to prevent. So I hope parents are out there. You know, if your kid's on an antipsychotic, make sure to read the labels on what they're taking. And like, you can use AI right now, or you can use Google still to go and search what the side effects of these drugs that these kids are taking. And really take a deep dive in it. Because if you're not, you're putting your children at risk and you don't even know it. You've turned your power over to somebody in a white hat or a white vest or what, you know, whatever the doctor is or whatever the facility manager is, that's decided, the psychologist, psychiatrist, there's some good people out there, but a lot of them don't know any different than you do. They haven't taken the time to read what's in those things. So yeah. I just hope you'll take some time. Your opinion, what needs to change in the troubled teen industry? You know what? I'm going to take a quick break. Hold that thought, and we'll come right back to answer that.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Meg Applegate, in our conversation on the troubled teen industry. But before I do, you know, this show is for you. It's about you. When I put these shows together, I'm doing that for you to be able to educate yourself and be able to understand some of the things that you may not understand so that you can be an advocate in your own life, your family's life. So if this show is a show that is helping you to understand, please pass it on to those you love and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, you can't change anything unless you have the education and understand how to change it. That's why I bring on the guests that I do, because they are experienced in their areas that can help you educate yourself in ways that you step into your courage and make the changes in your life and your family's life to have a better place to live for all of us. All right, back to Meg. Meg, all right, let's go. You know, the question I asked you right before the break, I'll go ahead and let you answer that. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, what needs to change within the troubled teen industry?
Yeah, what needs to change within the industry?
I think that within the industry, we need to see more reform. We need to see laws being passed that further regulate and require reporting within these facilities, because there's too much maltreatment going on, too much abuse going on, and it's not making it back to the decision makers' hands. That's within the industry. And then we also need to address the kids going into this industry and the pathologization of adolescence that I feel like is happening. So I think that a lot of it has to do with education and putting the research out there into the decision makers' hands or the caregivers' hands who are making these decisions, and helping them feel more supported within their communities and helping them feel more supported as a parent as they navigate teenagerhood, because it's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. You know, I ran a nonprofit for a while, and I can tell you that it's difficult running nonprofits because you're always in a mode of, it's a balancing act. You know, money's coming in, money's going out. You know, where do we spend our monies? How do we advocate for the most? And, you know, and all that stuff. So I know you're the CEO of Unsilenced, which is a nonprofit. Tell us a little bit about the mission of the organization and what you are looking for right now with the organization.
Yeah, so our mission is to stop institutional child abuse by empowering self-advocates to promote lasting social change. So we do this in many ways. First and foremost, we support survivors. So we offer free of charge support groups to survivors within the community. We provide what we call independence packs, which are backpacks full of resources, a laptop, and essential items for those who are battling homelessness. And then we also just try to be really present in the community and being able to expand that community. then we are also educating the public and using transparency as a way to educate the decision makers within the communities so that we can interrupt that pipeline of kids from communities into the troubled teen industry. Then we are also helping connect survivors with access to justice. Many times they come out and they don't even know they've been abused, or they have and they don't know what to do. So connecting them with attorneys who are able to help them navigate that and litigate the case if they're wanting to do that.
Well, I love that. And I think that we really need that in this nation. We need advocates like you to be able to help change this industry, change what's going on with our children. And, you know, we started in the beginning of this program, you know, cause and effect. You know, there is, you know, the cause or the reason these facilities exist, troubled teen industry exists, is primarily in many cases because it's very lucrative. It's very lucrative for these organizations to bring kids in at anywhere from, you know, $3,000 a month to $30,000 a month or more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and pretend like they're doing some therapy. But I think what I want to ask you is, what are some of the common warning signs that families should be aware of when considering a placement in a TTI facility?
Yeah, so we actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, because on our website, we have a list of red flags for parents to use when they're looking at different facilities to see if any of them are happening, right? So some of those are trying to limit contact between the parents or the caregivers and the child, a level-based system. So if they are good, they can get to a next level and have different privileges. But then if they're bad, they get everything taken away. Other things that take away their autonomy, you know, being washed, going to the bathroom and sleeping, not having access to their things, overstructured time during the day to allow for no free time. There is a list of like 50 of them. And we really recommend going there and using that to evaluate anywhere that you're looking at.
That's great. And we put the website up there, megapplegate.com. Is that the right app site to go to?
You can get there from there. Yeah, it would be unsilenced.org, which is the
unsilenced.org. Unsilenced.org. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great way to start if you're thinking about putting your child in one of these institutions. Meg, from your point of view, let's just talk a little bit about cause and effect of why are so many children going through these troubled times? Why are they, you know, being addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to gummies, to, you know, and I think of gummies when I think of drugs today, because so many kids are using those gummy bears and whatever, you know, with the pot in them. But there's harder drugs. There's fentanyl going out there. And there's a whole bunch of, there's a list of them that nobody's even heard the name, but they're out there. Why are the kids turning to drugs and alcohol and sex and overeating or whatever they're doing, whatever addiction they got going, you know, hiding out on the computers? What's going on?
I mean, I think, in my opinion, first and foremost, teenagers are hardwired to be pushing back against authority, pushing back against what they've been taught their whole life. This is a time for them to push back so they can figure out who they are for themselves versus what they've been told. And they do that by experimenting. And so it is extremely scary, especially nowadays when there's so many things available and things like fentanyl and all of that stuff. So why is it happening? I think it's because teenagers are hardwired to do it. And what that means nowadays is that we need to better support them and help coach them through these decisions and let them know that, you know, we're there for them. And I think that that's another thing that's hard for parents, is realizing the difference between parenting a toddler and trying to keep them alive and making sure they don't fall over and be the bumper for them versus trying to be a coach when they get to be a teenager and being able to be more of a sounding board for ideas and being able to talk to them and a support if they mess up or make a bad decision and know that they're always going to be supported.
Well, you know, it's easy to play the blame game. You know, I'm in this facility because of you, mom and dad, or they come out of the facility and say, you know, I'll never heal because of you, mom and dad, you know, but it's another game to say, all right, I went through a terrific time. I've been abused. I've gone through this. And now it's time I've got to figure out how to heal. Mm-hmm. Are there programs out there for the children? And I'm sure you probably had to go through something to be able to heal their trauma dramas. Is there something that Unsilence recommends, or where do kids go once they've gone through this crazy system?
Honestly, what compounds this so immensely is the fact that you have to remember that these programs are therapeutic, right? So oftentimes we were abused by our therapists. And so what happens after is you're not wanting to go to therapy. You don't want treatment now because the abuse was the treatment for so many years. So I would, you know, normally say, go to therapy, go to trauma-informed therapy with a therapist that understands institutional abuse. But that's easier said than done when you spent so many years being abused by your therapist. And so it's very, very difficult for survivors, and it acts as a barrier for them being able to get that help to heal from, let alone that trauma, but usually the trauma that ended them up in that place. So it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. But here's what I want my audience to know, okay? All healing is a quest, okay? If you don't find the right therapist, you find the next therapist. If that therapist doesn't work, you try out a health coach or a trauma coach. You find, you know, if that particular food doesn't work for you, you try the foods that do work for you. If the medication doesn't work, you get off the medication or get some other medication temporarily that'll help you. It's a quest to heal. It's a quest in this journey. There's almost nothing that can't be healed in this world if you're willing to step into courage and find the solution. And some people don't believe that, but I say that on my shows all the time. You can find how to heal if you're committed to finding how to heal. I don't care if it's your fingers giving you trouble, okay? Or if it's your back, or if it's mental, emotional challenges, there are ways to heal. And you know what? It's not going to come to you. You're the one. If you have the symptoms, and here I'll give you a few symptoms that you're overindulging in, whether it be like we just talked, any of the, you know, the alcohol, the drugs, the sex, the overeating, if you have symptoms in your body that your body is now out of alignment. You have lack of energy. You have you've been diagnosed with all these weird diseases. You don't know what the cause is. If the doctor doesn't know how to heal you, you have the wrong doctor. You got to find somebody that knows how to heal. Okay, that's my message. So, we're not victims. We can be victims. And what we're talking today is being a victim of an institution. And, you know, you become a victim. But once you get out, you now have choice again. And you need to start stepping into those choices in a greater way. I have a lot of compassion. And I really got what you said. You know, gosh, some therapist abused me. Why do I want to go back to a therapist? But all the therapists are, we have a tendency to, you know, if one therapist is that way, they're all that way. And that's not true. Okay. It's just not true. There are good people in the world that can support your health. Your advocacy has gained attention from celebrities like Paris Hilton. So how do you get these endorsements and how have they helped amplify your message? When I get back from my break, we'll find out.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Meg Applegate from the Unsilenced program and nonprofit program. Okay, you got some cool, you know, you got Paris Hilton, you got people advocating, being an advocate for you in this work. Let's talk about that. You know, how do you get these kind of endorsements? Do these endorsements really help? And how can we be in, you know, just everybody that's listening to this show today, how can they help become an advocate?
Yeah, I mean, I think this entire movement and where it's at right now is, it wouldn't be here without Paris Hilton using her platform many years ago when she came out about being a survivor. And, you know, survivors have been yelling from the rooftops for decades now about the abuse going on in the troubled teen industry. And, you know, it really didn't gain any traction until Paris really stepped out there. So it's made a world of difference. And having that endorsement, having someone with, you know, that platform being able to say, yeah, it happened to me too, and it can happen to anyone, has been really helpful. And I think what we really need is to just like talk about it. Talk about the fact that it's out there, talk about the industry, and hopefully we can just spread like wildfire this awareness so that it can reach everywhere.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that people can go right to give me the website again.
Unsilenced.org.
Unsilenced.org. Mm-hmm. And they can, before that, you put a child into an institution, no matter how bad your child is, okay, or whatever the child's doing. Go to unsilenced.org and see the list that Meg has put together for you. The warning signs that, you know, if this institution is doing this, there, it's like red flags. Be aware, be cautious. I think that's the first thing that someone should do. I think the next thing they should do is I think they should go and get this book, Becoming Unsilenced. So that they really, you really understand what's going on in this industry, so that you're aware. You know, awareness will help you, will help your child, and ultimately, it's you can get that book, by the way, Unsilenced on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or wherever good books are sold. And you know, I encourage my audience, if you want to be an advocate for this cause, just go buy the book, start there, and pass it out to someone. You know, it's amazing with the commitment. What I've learned is providence moves. So you got a commitment to buy the book. You go, well, I don't know how I'm going to give this to you. You don't have to. It's not up to you. You know, the people, places, or things that need that book will show up in your life, and you'll be able to pass that book on. That's what I found. So I hope we've done a good job of getting the message out today, Meg.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What's new? What's next for Meg? What's next for you?
Man, I mean, we're just going to continue to spread awareness. Paris just helped pass a bill that is going in California right now. So we've got, you know, legislative changes going on. We have the launch of our new attorney directory, which is going to help support survivors in finding attorneys for themselves. We've got lots of new survivor resources. So we're just busy at work behind the scenes trying to produce all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the main thing is, you know, how do you keep it in front of the media? I think that's the big piece.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to do shows like this show and you know, keep it out in the mainstream is the main thing. Do you have any other amazing shows that you're looking forward to being on? Do you have your list of where you want to be?
You know, I actually don't. I've been lucky enough to be on some pretty awesome shows and often like some radio shows and podcasts. So I just kind of take them when they come, and I love awareness. So I'll always take the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I encourage you to start dreaming big and be on, on the Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, yeah. MSNBC, and, you know, have them do a story on you and keep this in the forefront of our minds, because it's an issue that we all need. All right. Well, some final thoughts from Meg. And you got the microphone now to the world. We're in 185 countries. What do you want the world to know about what you're doing?
That it seems foreign to think about this going on in the world, that there are so many people out there that have been to this troubled teen industry, but that it's so incredibly common. And the difference between just pretending like it doesn't exist and just talking about it with someone could be the difference of that person feeling heard and that person finally deciding that they're validated and they want to go find help and they're ready to get a therapist. So talking about this can help not only societal change, it can help the individuals that you're talking to, because you never know what someone's past has, and they could be a survivor themselves. And it can also prevent future survivors. So it's really important to just talk about these issues, as uncomfortable as they can be. It's obviously not fun talking about abuse, but it's so important if we want to see the social change. And if we want to see survivors who unfortunately already have been hurt, being able to go get help.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm not sure if it's already on your website or not, but just as important as, what the warning signs are, what do the good institutions look like? What are the ones that are really doing a good job? Who are they? If I'm a parent, it's like, it's a guessing game. I want somebody to help me take the guessing out. So I don't know if you have that on your site or not, but maybe it's something you'll put on there in the future.
Yeah, we actually have a whole list of alternatives to the TTI on our website, and it's super, super long. And I would say mostly going for treatment options that keep the child within the community and within the family system whenever safe and possible. That's the most important thing, because research does support that close familial relationships help even battle depression into your late 30s. So it's really important to help keep your teen, whatever struggles they're going through, close and connected with the family.
Man, that makes so much sense. All right. Megan, thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your the unsilenced.org that you have put together so many people can benefit from that. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. You're making a difference in the world. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for listening today. At this show, of course, is all about you for you. So again, yeah, if you will continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, you one day will be able to do the impossible. That's what the mission of this show is. So take care until next time.